Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
All right, another week, another episode of Oley Insider. Man, I've been pounding the pavement at the Capitol here in Olympia. I came up with a new term. I'm going to call it, I'm pounding the marble at the Capitol.
Perfect. I like it.
Yeah. How was your week, Ben, Erica?
Well, it's been pretty busy, too. I wasn't down there at the Capitol, but I was still participating, and it's been pretty good. I've watched some of these hearings. Several of our bills had hearings this week, but we kind of made the decision that we were going to make this episode about gun bills this week because there was a lot of action. So we're going to share with you some of the gun bill stuff that we covered.
Gun bills. Gun. I don't know, that terrible gun sounds. All right, there we go. And you can't see me, but I had my gun fingers up.
I was imagining it.
There you go. Well, and it is true. We want to try to keep these episodes short. We want them to be educational. We broke news in the last episode. I think we're breaking some news with research in this particular episode. You viewed the hearing on what was it? SB 5099. And I went to the hearing on HB 1132. I think those are the bills. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and we've got a little report for you folks today. Before we get into it, was there anything else in general that you wanted to bring up for this particular episode?
I do want to just kind of make an observation really quick, because I noticed in the hearing in particular that I watched, there were questions that were given to the prime sponsor, and the sponsor was not able to answer the questions and said that they would go get the information and report it back to the committee. So I'm just kind of wondering if the sponsor doesn't have the answer to these questions, who's really behind these bills?
I think that's a great question and pretty amazing what you witnessed happened exactly for HB 1132, where the representatives kind of got into it a little bit, and with the witnesses giving testimony, and there weren't a lot of answers to the pushback questions. And we did some research at Oley Insider, and we might be breaking a little news. We might be illuminating some of those questions behind some of these testimonials in this episode. So stay tuned for that. But I will tell you, in my research, I came across this group called Alliance for Gun Responsibility. And I know that they provided a one-sheet informational on HB 1132 for Representative Farivar. So I'm wondering if that's the outside agency, if you will, that is helping these legislators with these bills.
So that's who pretty much gave him some talking points.
That's what it's looking like. But anyways,
let's
get into this show. Let's help the people out. You're up first.
I listened to the hearing for SB 5099, which was introduced for the purpose of, quote, protecting the public from gun violence by establishing additional requirements for the business operations of licensed firearm dealers.
Oh, wait. Wasn't there a bill just like this that was passed last year?
Yes. So last year there was HB 2118, which passed, and it imposed several requirements for firearm dealers. Those requirements aren't even all in effect yet, and many of the testifiers in opposition to this bill, 5099, expressed frustration with the idea of now adding more requirements after many of these businesses have already spent a lot of time and effort to comply with those requirements. The people who testified in support of the bill argue that it will keep communities safer by holding dealers to higher standards. Much of the testimony that was provided in the hearing was people's personal stories, and it kind of tugged at the emotional side of the bill about gun violence and survivors and stuff like that. But I'm a person who likes facts, so I want to share with you a couple of clips from different people who provided some statistics. Here's the first one.
Good morning. My name is Steve Lindley. I'm a 28-year law enforcement veteran and former chief of the California Department of Justice Bureau of Firearms. I'm here on behalf of Brady, United Against Gun Violence, and in strong support of Senate Bill 5099. Based on the last available federal data on crime gun, only 5% of firearm dealers are responsible for over 90% of recovered crime guns in our nation.
And here is an opposing view offering additional statistics.
Mark Kreider, Walla Walla County Sheriff. By way of background, I'm a retired FBI agent, current elected sheriff in Walla Walla County. I'm here to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 5099. 96% of the guns stolen in America are stolen from private owners. Only 2.5% of the guns stolen in America are stolen from licensed firearm dealers. Only 1.3% of guns used in crimes are stolen from an FFL dealer. I think the idea behind this bill is to put FFL dealers in the state of Washington out of business. And I think that's a bad idea for the state of Washington.
It caught my attention that these provided statistics seem to vary so drastically, and wonder if these will be looked at by the committee members at all, or if they even caught that the statistics seem to contradict each other.
Yeah, that's the question. Is legislation a search for truth and what's best for the public, or partisans going to war over ideology? I think we know the answer to that. I found the same contradiction occurring in the hearing for HB 1132. Let's go to that report. And I did actually ask a representative about that conundrum, the information that's provided in hearings and the mechanisms to create checks and balances on facts within statistics that seem to conflict. Here is the second report on a gun bill that we are tracking that had action this week. HB 1132, that is said to be enhancing public safety by limiting bulk purchases and transfers of firearms and ammunition. That had a hearing this week, and we took a couple clips from the hearing. But let's get into it. Davis, why don't you help me out?
House Bill 1132 prohibits firearm dealers from delivering more than one firearm to a purchaser or transferee within any 30-day period. Prohibits firearm dealers from delivering more than 100 rounds of .50 caliber ammunition or more than 1,000 rounds of any other caliber of ammunition to a purchaser or transferee within any 30-day period.
Okay, and that was filed in the legislature by Democrat Representative Farivar from the 46th Legislative District, and here's what she had to say in the opening of the hearing.
At the end of the day, this legislation is really about trying to address public safety and illegal activity. These are two major issues, not just for my district, not just for my neighborhood of Lake City, but for our entire state that we need to be mindful of. Right now, there is no limit on the number of guns or the rounds of ammunition that someone can purchase. This legislation simply says that one firearm or 1,000 rounds is sufficient to purchase at one time. That is, if you're not law enforcement or the other officials that Mr. Brzezinski mentioned in his briefing. The need for action is urgent, and it is very clear. Every day we turn on the news and we hear about gun violence in our communities. We hear about young people that are getting access to firearms, and inevitably tragedy follows. We hear about law enforcement responding to the scene where hundreds of shell casings have been strewn, which really reflects the ammunition stockpiling that's happening. We have seen in firearms that are bought in bulk purchases that they're actually twice as likely to become ghost guns, and they are 64% more likely to be used in crime. The data is very clear, and it is frightening. On the other hand, the states that have enacted similar measures, they've actually reduced their firearm trafficking by 50%. The fact of the matter is that ordinary people are not buying 12 guns or 12,000 rounds of ammunition a year. We need legislation that's going to make our community safer, that's going to help law enforcement prevent harm, and is going to stop these guns from vanishing into thin air. Thank you for your consideration, Madam Chair.
Okay, and that was her opening explanation on why she brought forward HB 1132. And in the committee, there was only one question from the committee members. That was from Representative Abel from the 7th Legislative District. He is a Republican.
My question for you is, I wonder if you could talk just briefly about how the proposed legislation interacts with Article 1, Section 24 of our state constitution, which says that the right to bear arms shall not be impaired.
Well, that's the million-dollar question from Representative Abel. Let's hear how Farivar responded.
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know that I would be the best person to really describe how it's going to interact with our Constitution. What I'll say is that we're not questioning whether or not you have a right to have a firearm, but just trying to regulate the amounts of it to make sure that, again, that guns are not ending up in the wrong hands.
All right. Interesting answer. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how this is going to interact with our Constitution. I do think it's important to give you testimony from both sides, pro and con, for HB 1132. It's very interesting to see the differences between them and to show you how your participation and your testimony could really matter in these circumstances. And you know what, before we go to this testimony, Erica, didn't you have something interesting that happened that you correlated directly to your own testimony?
Yes. Last week, I had testified on a bill remotely. It's none of the bills that we're following, but it was something I felt strongly about. So I went ahead and signed up and testified, along with several other people that gave great testimony as well. And I was following up with the bill, and it turns out that now there is a substitute bill showing, which means that they made amendments to the original bill. So I did a little comparison to see what they changed, and it turns out that they took out a lot of the worst parts out of the bill that people were complaining about. So I thought that was pretty neat because it just goes to show that when people speak up, they can make a difference. So I really encourage anyone listening, if you see any bills that you feel strongly about, please sign up and testify, either written testimony, verbal testimony, go there in person if you can, because it does make a difference.
Yeah, and one of the strategies of the game of politics, and I can see in these committee hearings, is to stack the deck with testimony in favor or against legislation. For example, this young lady that I'm about to play uses a statistic that several of the people who were providing testimony regurgitated. They were all using the same statistic as if the system was gamed and these people were brought in to testify from the same sourcing. So let's hear this young lady.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mahika Malati. I'm a member of the Washington Youth Alliance, and I go to high school in Redmond in the 45th Legislative District with hundreds of other students, some of which colloquially brag about their mass access to firearms. Their threats aren't empty because they have access to bulk weapons and ammo, as do their friends, family, and neighbors. It's impossible for me to focus on learning about my constitutional rights in AP Gov when my life is constantly threatened. I cannot live nor learn if I'm dead. Guns sold in multiple sales are 64% more likely to be used in crimes. Restricting the amount of ammunition an individual can purchase over a 30-day period allows those who want to buy firearms to continue doing so, will prevent easy massacres from being carried out in our state, and will reduce the flow of illegal firearms in Washington. Let's prevent Washington from being subject to the lethal whims of firearms. So I urge you to vote yes for HB 1132 to prevent deaths by firearm and make a commitment to ensure the safety of Washingtonians across the state, especially targeted communities, including my youth peers. Thank you.
Definitely an emotional plea there within the testimony of that young high schooler. Here is what I found to be the most compelling oppositional testimony that was given to the committee. We're going to wrap it up with this gentleman.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Alan Ernst, and I am a top-ranked competitive shooter at the state, regional, and international level. With few exceptions, I guarantee that I know more about firearms, ammunition, and their use than everyone in this hearing and on the campus in Olympia. It takes a lot of practice and hard work to improve at anything in life, and highly competitive shooting sports are no exception. It's nothing to shoot a few thousand rounds per month leading up to important matches. restricting my ability to purchase ammunition in any amount infringes upon my federal-level constitutional rights and impairs the rights clearly afforded me in Washington State's Constitution. Worse, nothing in this bill will affect the desired outcome of its legislative sponsors, or the people who finance their campaigns. Chicago has one of the most draconian anti-gun laws in the nation, and yet it has some of the worst gun-related violent crimes and homicides in the world. Why? The criminals simply steal their firearms and or source their ammunition across state lines. They don't care about ineffective and illogical laws such as this. Just the other day, I heard testimony from someone regarding a shooting of two children at a county fair. He conveniently left out the fact that the shooter was a minor and therefore unable to purchase a firearm in the first place, and the shooting was gang-related. He also left out the fact that another teenager, who was also part of a violent gang and was apprehended at the same fair with an unlawfully concealed pistol. The person that gave that testimony was Senator Valdez, the very sponsor of the bill. Neither minor could purchase a firearm. This law wouldn't have stopped the problem. Criminals don't care about your laws. Almost 50% of the misdemeanors in Washington are dismissed. I'm certain a very high percentage of felony charges are also reduced, dropped, or dismissed. We don't have a gun problem in Washington. Our problem is that we coddle criminals. Take a moment to think critically and oppose this absurd bill and actually do something to get tough on gang-related violence in Washington. Thank you.
All right, there's a good example of pros and cons for HB 1132. But the most explosive exchange that came during the proceeding was the testimony of an educator who is the victim of mass gun violence, a mass shooting in Florida many years ago. And she gave the same statistic that the sponsoring representative, Farvar, gave, and in the testimony of several of the people that spoke. Let's hear it regurgitated one more time.
Bulk purchases of weapons and ammunition pose a significant public safety threat to the well-being of our state. Firearms and large quantities of ammunition acquired through bulk purchases often make their way to the black market, fueling violent crimes and making it easier for malicious actors to put the public at risk. Research shows that gun purchased in bulk are 64% more likely to be involved in crimes like just mentioned, and also are likely to have their serial numbers removed, strong indicators of firearms trafficking.
Representative Jacobson is on the Civil Rights and Judiciary Committee. She's Republican representative out of the 25th Legislative District. She had a question after this statistic was given so many times.
So this is for our 46-year education veteran, and I'm sorry, Anne?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so thanks, Anne. So people are citing a study, 64% more likely to be used in commission of a crime if it's a bulk purchase, and I'm just wondering if anyone knows the name of that study. And the other question is, I'm so puzzled, if the serial numbers are removed, how do we know it's from a bulk sale? Because I've heard those stats from several people, and I thought you, maybe being an educator, might know this. Thank you.
I'm not an educator who knows those questions, but I'm sure someone else might be able to address that.
And no one was able to address that because they were just reading from pamphlets that were given to them by the Alliance for Gun Responsibility, a group, in Washington State. We were able to hunt down where that statistic was cited and provide a little context. The Ole Insider crew for the win. Davis, will you summarize the research that we discovered?
The 2007 study cited in this exchange is based on records of guns used in crimes in Maryland from 1990 to 1999. The study highlighted its limitations and cautioned generalizing the findings to other states. While the study found that guns sold in bulk sales were up to 64% more likely to be used in crime, this study examined only the 4% of all recovered guns successfully traced to a retail sale within the prior year. The study suggests that Maryland State's proximity to a major city with a handgun ban may have provided an incentive for trafficking.
That study and all the show notes and links can be found at the show page at oleinsider.com. The study was done at Jerry Lee Center of Criminology at the University of Pennsylvania. It's a report to the National Institute of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice. The title is Crime Gun Risk Factors, Buyer-Seller Firearm and Transaction Characteristics Associated with Gun Trafficking and Criminal Gun Use. And finally, here is an important quote from the study.
Because the study examined only guns used in crime, it provides no basis for comparing the risks that handguns sold in single and multiple sales are used in crime.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Oli Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oliinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.